are listening to True Crime Twins, a true crime podcast hosted by Chloe and Melina Cantor. True Crime Twins is distributed by Glassbox Media and is part of the Crawlspace Media family.
On April 20th, 1999, in Littleton, Colorado, 18-year-old Eric Harris and 17-year-old Dylan Klebold shot up their high school, Columbine High School. They killed 12 students and one teacher and injured 21 others. Some of them were paralyzed for life. People often hear the word Columbine and think, oh, that's the first American school shooting. But in reality, it became the start of this phenomenon of the school shootings being more covered in the media, and it did start a ripple effect. It tended to inspire lots of future school shooters, such as Cho Sung Ho, who shot up Virginia Tech, and Adam Lanza, who shot up Sandy Hook Elementary School. People saw Dylan and Eric as martyrs for the cause of being disenfranchised and unappreciated and ignored by society. And they just wanted to let everybody feel their anger and their wrath. Eric and Dylan had actually originally intended to bomb the cafeteria during peak lunchtime to get the most fatalities. But for whatever reason, their bombs were defective in the cafeteria and they did not detonate. Their original plan was for when the bombs were to go off in there, the library would come crashing down on top of it, killing hundreds, and then they would wait in the parking lot as students and teachers fled the school, just shooting them as they were running to safety. And in addition, they had bombs in their own cars. People consider it a miracle that the bombs in the cafeteria didn't go off, but Eric and Dylan then decided to go with plan B, which was ambushing their school and massacring it. Eric was born in Kansas and moved around a lot as his father was an Air Force pilot. When his father retired from military service, they settled in Littleton, Colorado. Dylan was born in Colorado to pacifist parents, and he was raised with Lutheran and Jewish customs. Dylan was considered to be a relatively well-behaved kid. He was considered to be very quiet and awkward. Eric showed signs of anger when he was 15 years old. He was very much obsessed with a video game called Doom, which was a shooting game, and he would blog about it. He was interested in pyrotechnics. He liked to build explosives, and he liked to go out and vandalize things. He became friends with Dylan, I think, around this time. In 1997, Eric made a blog post that said, "All I want to do is kill and injure as many of you as I can, especially a few people like Brooks Brown." Brooks Brown was a classmate of theirs and friends with them at a certain point, but had a falling out with Eric. But the Brown family took this threat very seriously and even went to the police about it. The complaint was never submitted to a judge. The next year, in 1998, Eric and Dylan were arrested together. They had broken into a van and stolen equipment. They ended up pleading guilty and they went through a juvenile diversion program, which apparently they both did very well and got good recommendations and were able to finish the program. Both shooters kept journals. Eric's journal was very violent. He basically would vent about the violent fantasies that he had, including homicide and rape. He talked about wanting to basically rape and torture women in his bedroom. Dylan's journal entries were a little bit more on the depressive end, more self-hatred rather than outward hatred. He wrote about this crush that he had on this girl who apparently didn't know that he existed. He was suicidal. He felt that his life was worthless. It seemed as though when Eric and Dylan became friends, that Eric validated this anger and maybe even encouraged him to sort of put it out onto others, and that maybe Dylan may have inspired him to end his life at some point, which could have given him more courage to carry out the violent fantasies that he did have. Both boys had submitted writings in school that were considered disturbing. One of Dylan's writings was actually reported to his parents, but no further action was made. This seems to be sort of a theme in this case that if certain things were addressed, things were just brushed under the rug. Dylan wrote in Eric's 1998 yearbook, quote, "Killing enemies, blowing up stuff, killing cops. My wrath for January's incident will be godlike, not to mention our revenge in the commons." When he said the January incident, he's referring to being arrested. And apparently both Eric and Dylan found that incident to be very traumatizing and life-changing. I think that they made it out to the powers that be that they had learned their lesson and that they were really sorry, but it seems like it actually had the opposite effect and it made them more angry. I don't know why they felt that they were entitled to do anything that they wanted, but it seems like facing consequences for their actions, and rightfully so, to them, they thought that that warranted revenge. And when he said in the commons, he's referring to the school cafeteria, which is where part of the massacre occurred. Eric and Dylan would also often make films. They would make films doing target practice. Sometimes they would be smoking cigarettes and just, like, you know, doing teen stuff, trying to look cool. Both of them obviously had an interest in guns. I think that maybe Eric's family was more comfortable around guns, but apparently Dylan's family were very uncomfortable with guns and never had them around, never talked about wanting them around, basically actively against them. So apparently, according to them, they had no idea that Dylan was playing around with guns and shooting them and making these videos. They did make a video called Hitmen for Hire for school, which seemed to be like a little dress rehearsal for the shooting that ended up happening. They are acting really, really tough, and they're protecting this kid that's getting bullied by a jock, and they both scream into the camera they're supposed to be intimidating and menacing type messages to the bullies. Eric was like, "If you get anywhere near that kid, I'm going to blow your freaking head off," or something like that. And it sort of sounded to me like he was imitating his father when he would probably get lectured. It seemed sort of like a military older man impression to me. But then when it comes to Dylan, he's like screaming his head off, and there's a blooper where he kind of is like, "Oh shit." And he laughs because he messes up his line, but he's like full on screaming in the camera. And it's actually scary. I think that he says something like, "I'm going to shove something so far up your ass that you're going to cough up blood or cough up poop for days," or something disgusting. But basically these kids were showing everybody that they were capable of violence, and there is literal footage of them walking around what's supposed to be a school hallway carrying guns and trying to intimidate people. There was another time where they were apparently just going ham and attacking bicycles with a sledgehammer, and they filmed it and showed it in class, and a kid was so disturbed by it that he ratted them out and got them in trouble. Where is all this anger coming from? Nobody really even acknowledge seeing them get bullied. Like, after this happened, everybody was saying, "Oh, they were bullied, that's why they did it." But people also said that they bullied people, which is not impossible for somebody who is bullied to also bully somebody else to feel like bigger and stronger. But yeah, these kids, they were like racist and were into Hitler. They made the massacre on April 20th because that is Hitler's birthday. Just 30 minutes before the attack, they had filmed themselves in the basement of Eric's house, acknowledging what they were about to do and apologizing to their families and friends. Dylan actually spoke directly to his mom and said, "I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't like living very much." These videos, some of the transcripts were released, and some of the victims' parents and families were allowed to watch them, but apparently they were destroyed because they didn't want the tapes inspiring future violence, even though without the tape, it still inspired future violence. The entire thing, even with the evidence of their videos and their planning and the journal entries, it doesn't really even feel real to me. In one of those basement tapes, Eric learns that Dylan is part Jewish, because Dylan makes a throwaway comment about his family celebrating one of the Jewish holidays, and he like looks at him disgusted, like, "You're Jewish?" And Dylan's explained it away or something, as if this was like the most horrible thing in the world. But what's so disturbing is that this is somebody that should have been more sensitive to people that aren't just like everybody else, but he specifically targeted one of the black kids in school during the shooting and called him the N-word in a horrific display that I just can't even imagine what that poor boy's final moments felt like. While Eric and Dylan waited in the parking lot for their bombs to go off in the cafeteria before they started shooting, Brooks Brown, the very guy who Eric had threatened on his AOL blog, emerged out of nowhere and was kind of making teasing comments at Eric, being like, hey, where were you during the English test or whatever? Eric was kind of just like, it doesn't matter, because, you know, they skipped morning classes to prepare. And Eric said, Brooks, I like you now. Get out of here. Go home. And I guess Brooks was planning on possibly skipping that class anyway. So he just didn't question it and he walked away and his life was spared. It happens that in a lot of these shootings that people are sometimes spared in the beginning. It's almost like it's become a weird thing. Like even with the Parkland shooting, Nick Cruz did almost the same exact thing. Some kid just happened upon him when he went into the stairwell to sort of arm himself. And he said, you better get out of here. Things are about to get bad. It was almost like he was paying tribute to that specific exchange. After this, they walked up the steps. Lots of kids were eating lunch outside that day. Eric shot Rachel Scott 4 times and she was killed instantly. She was eating lunch with her friend Richard Castaldo. He was shot like 8 times and to this day, he is still paralyzed. Eric wore a shirt that said natural selection and Dylan wore a shirt that said wrath. They were each wearing a glove from one pair of gloves, Eric on his right hand and Dylan on his left hand. At first, with the shooting outside, a lot of the people thought that it was a senior prank and that it was a paintball gun. Because I guess if you're not expecting what's going on around you to be happening like that, you see the flash of red and you're like, oh, that's just a red, and you can just explain it away like that. And that's actually something that I've heard in other instances of people witnessing a shooting. They can kind of just explain it away to themselves at first. After the first 2 victims were shot, Eric shot at 3 boys, at Daniel Rorbo, Sean Graves, and Lance Kirkland. Daniel was killed instantly. Sean and Lance were still alive. After this, Coach Sanders was able to go into the cafeteria and warn a lot of students about the outside danger. Sean Graves and Lance Kirkland were laying on the ground, bloody and in excruciating pain. Sean screamed that he couldn't move his legs. Lance saw a figure start to approach him and look down upon him. Lance pleaded for help. This person standing before him was actually Dylan, and Dylan replied, sure, I'll help you. And then he pointed the gun at his lower jaw and pulled the trigger, shooting him in the face. As Eric and Dylan continued to shoot at their fellow students, art teacher Patty Nielsen heard the commotion outside and at first, like the others, thought it was either a senior prank or some kind of elaborate project or video. She, along with the student Brian Anderson, went up to the door and with the intention of asking them to quiet down or knock it off, they saw the 2 shooters wearing their dark trench coats. Eric looked at them and smiled. He then fired at them. Nielsen was hit with shrapnel in her shoulder. She ran into the library, knowing that there really was nowhere to go, put it on lockdown, screamed at all the kids to hide under the tables, and she called 911. Coach Dave Sanders was still evacuating the students from the cafeteria and in the hallways. When they had entered the school, they kind of went face to face with Dave Sanders, and then they shot him multiple times. One going through the back of his head and exiting out through his mouth, breaking some of his teeth. A bunch of students in a classroom came to Dave Sanders' aid and brought him inside and barricaded the door closed. Students attempted first aid administration on Dave Sanders for hours. They desperately put a sign on the window for help to see that said, one bleeding to death. By the time that the police got there, hours later, they said they needed to get EMS, which took even longer. And by the time EMS came, he was lifeless. Around this time, Harris and Klebold started getting into gunfights with police and the school resource officer who were stationed outside of the school. No one was hit in each instance, but there were about three or four gunfights that occurred throughout the shooting. While in the school, the shooters were throwing explosives, including pipe bombs and Molotov cocktails. They were starting small fires and just completely destroying school property. Dylan even smashed computers once they were in the library. It just shows this unbridled rage that they seem to have. When the shooters entered the library, there were over 50 students in there hiding. Eric yelled for the people wearing white hats, which were the jocks at Columbine High School, to all stand up. Basically, everybody stood still, understandably, and some of the people that were wearing white hats actually took them off and hid them because they were afraid of being targeted. When nobody said anything or showed themselves, Eric said, "Fine, I'll start shooting anyway." The first person killed in the library was a mentally disabled student named Kyle Velasquez, who did not hide in time. Witnesses said that Eric and Dylan seemed to be having a really, really good time. And it kind of makes sense because I believe in their planning, they said, most importantly, have fun. Like, they were seeing this as like the time of their lives. They were cheering, congratulating each other, and they kept saying, "Anyone with a white hat is dead." They systematically prowled the library rows, looking under tables of the terrified students who were hiding from them and using their discretion on whether or not to shoot them. When Eric injured a 17-year-old named Casey Rugseger, she started to moan in pain and he said, "Quit your bitching." Eric went to the table where Cassie Bernal was hiding. It was long considered to be this religious moment between him and Cassie, where apparently he had said, "Do you believe in God?" And she said, "Yes." And then he killed her. But this was later proven to not be the case. What happened was he looked under the table at her and said, "Peekaboo," and he shot her. But then the recoil of the gun hit himself in the face and broke his nose in some strange twist of karma. So after this, his nose was bleeding profusely. Eric then went to the table where Bree Pasquale was hiding. When asked if she wanted to die, she pled for her life. Eric laughed at her and said, "Everyone's going to die." Dylan encouraged him to shoot her. For whatever reason, Eric spared her and said, "Doesn't matter. We're going to blow up the school anyway." One of the more disturbing moments of the shooting was how they targeted a Black student named Isaiah Scholes. There weren't many Black kids in the school, so I guess he stuck out anyway. Dylan basically came upon Isaiah hiding with other students, Matthew Ketcher and Craig Scott, who was the brother of the first victim of the massacre, Rachel Scott. Basically, he called Eric over and said, "Hey, there's an N-word under here." And they tried to drag him out from underneath the table, but he resisted, and then they killed him. Craig Scott was covered in the blood of his friend and played dead. Matthew Ketcher was killed as well. An injured student named Valene Schnurr was screaming, "Oh my God," because she was in so much pain. Because of this, Dylan asked her if she believed in God. Valene didn't really know what to say, but then she said yes. And Dylan said, "Why? God is gay." For whatever reason, he did not kill her. Eric saw two girls hiding at one of the tables he looked under, and he kind of scoffed at them and said, "Pathetic." At a certain point, Dylan encountered an acquaintance of his named John Savage. He asked him to identify himself. At this point, the fire alarm was blaring and it was really hard to hear, but they actually had a conversation. Basically, he said to Dylan, "What are you doing?" Dylan shrugged and said, "Oh, just killing people." John said, "Are you going to kill me?" Dylan couldn't hear him because of the fire alarm, so he said, "What?" And he asked him again, and he said, "No, get out of here, run." And he spared his life. It seemed at a certain point that they actually seemed to get bored of shooting people. So instead, they were getting this pleasure out of deciding who lived and died. It was more of a psychological thing. And even at a certain point, Dylan said, "Maybe we should start knifing people. That could be fun." As John Savage ran away after Dylan told him to, desperately feared that he was going to be shot. But luckily, he was spared. Shortly after this, Eric encountered Daniel Mauser. He indiscriminately shot him. Mauser tried to fight back, even though he really was defenseless. He either grabbed at Eric's leg or shoved a chair at him. Eric responded by shooting him in the face at close range. When they left the library, they went back into the now empty cafeteria and attempted to ignite the propane bombs by shooting at them. Dylan even lit a Molotov cocktail and threw it at the propane bombs, and they still wouldn't really. After this, the bomb partially ignited, but the fire was extinguished by fire sprinklers. They walked around for a little bit longer before re-entering the library, wherein they shot at police one more time, and then they turned their guns on themselves. According to official reports, Eric shot himself in the mouth, and Dylan shot himself in his left temple. The supervisor in charge of the investigation of the shooting later said, "I believe Eric went to the school to kill and didn't care if he died, while Dylan wanted to die and didn't care if others died as well." Something really meaningful that came out of this shooting was that the daughter of Dave Sanders, she became the same role of a juvenile diversion program, like the same kind of program that Eric and Dylan had to be a part of after they broke into the van. It's almost like a full circle moment. She actually really wants to help these people so they don't end up doing something so horrific that ruined her life. The shooters have gained this kind of twisted fame. They have this sort of weird subculture where people look up to them, see them as heroes, see them as victims. And it's just very, very disturbing. They're memorializing people that they've never even met before and people that have committed these atrocities and ruined so many people's lives. They maimed people. People can't walk anymore. They haven't been able to walk since they were children. It's just sick that anybody could possibly find any way to find them honorable, especially because they've inspired so many shootings that happened in the future, like I said before.